We begin the current daf Misavtzivam is daf Pei. We begin on the bottom line of daf Ayin Testament Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is our Mishnah on the previous daf, introduced by a statement of Rabbi Yeshua, saying that I heard two conflicting statements and I don't know how to resolve them. I heard that a sris, which is someone that is sterile, can do chalitza and they can do chalitza to his wife. Yet at the same time, I heard that he cannot do chalitza and they cannot do chalitza to his wife. So there were two different opinions in the Mishnah how to resolve that. B'Kiva said that it's a sris adam, that is someone that later on in life became castrated, the inability to father a child. That type of a person could be chaylitz and chatzin l'ishtay. And the reason is, as he said, because hoysel l'shasa kosher, there was a time that it was viable of fathering a child. So although later on in life there was an incident that happened that he became unable to, became b'tzua dakam, that doesn't make a difference. He's still considered l'hokim l'achav shem or shalo yimochesh might be Yisrael, either one if he's the one that died or the brother doing the yibum, and therefore he's able to do chaylitz or have chalitza done to his wife. Whereas a sris chamo would not be in that category. And Rabbi Eliezer argued, he said, no, actually it's the other way around. A sris chama, someone that was born like that, is able to be healed at some point, and therefore is considered l'hakam l'ach of shame, or that shalei yimachash might be Yisrael, whereas a sris adam, who is totally unable, does not enter the category of l'hakam l'ach of shame. Now, that our Gemara continues and asks, heichi dami sris chama. So again, according to Rabbi Kiva, the idea is that you have to be able to have a shasa kosher. Whereas a sris chama, someone that was congenital, that was born like that, then is considered that is not able to have any children. So the Gemara is qualifying this. What's considered someone that doesn't have a shasa kosher, was never viable, that Rabbi Kiva would consider, cannot do chalitza or cannot have someone do chalitza to his wife when he dies. So that Amar Rabbi Yisrael by Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he says, call him and continue on top of Peyam and Alv, shalei ro sha'achas b'chashrus, as we had been explaining up until now, where the Gemara is just qualifying that now, is that it's talking about a person that never had a moment of viability, meaning from the moment of birth, when he came out of his mother's womb, he was already a sris, and therefore, that's someone that never had a sho'achas b'kashrusoi, didn't have a shasa kosher, so again, that's not someone that's considered lachem lachem shame, and therefore Rabbi Kiva disqualifies such a person from doing chalitza or having chalitza done to his wife. Now, but on that, the Gemara asks, how do we know that? In other words, when are we checking to see his aver, to see if he was born like that or not? How do we know if maybe it developed later? And if it developed later, then Rabbi Kiva would say that's just a sris adam, and hence he would be able to do chalitza and have chalitza done to his wife. So that Amavai Abai says there are certain symptoms that one can inspect which will tell us if he was born like this or not. As Abai says, kalamat l'mayim, any man that urinates, ve'eina oisa kippa, and it doesn't create an arch, and that is when he urinates, it doesn't spray to a distance when he's urinating in the upward position, then that's a sign that he was a sris chama, he was born like that, and therefore, according to B'Kiva, that would be an automatic disqualification. Now, the Gemara wonders, mimai havia, what causes a child to be born already sris, that with the inability of fathering a child? So the Gemara says, it happens because his mother baked bread in the oven, b'tihara, in the noontime, where you have two heats. You have the heat of the sun, and you also have the heat of the oven. And b'shasi shichar marka, she drank marka beer, which is either diluted with water, or some say strong beer, because of all that heat that negatively impacts the fetus, thus causing the child to be unable to have any children, and that creates him to be a sris chama. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, he says, now that we just explained in the Gemara, he says, "Hainu d'shmanu la'ami d'ama." This is what I heard Ami saying, which seemingly is he was explaining the definition of a sris chama, that he said, "Kol shemi me'imei lakoi." Any child that from the mother's womb was already deficient. And I didn't know, and there's two interpretations of Rashi, either I didn't know from what it's caused, which now, however, the Gemara has told us what it comes from, or another interpretation is that I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know what he was coming to explain, what type of psul is it that a child is born with, but now I know that obviously he was coming to explain the sris chama, and that is he was defining what makes someone a sris chama, as our Gemara said, that there was never a sh'achas b'kashrus because he was born like that. But the Gemara has a technical question on this halacha. V'lechu shema hivri b'nasayim. we should be concerned that maybe there was a moment that, even if, let's say, he was born like this, but maybe there was a moment sometime in his lifetime that he was healed and was able to, it wasn't sterile, and therefore, although now we see that he is, but maybe there was a moment in between that he was able to, and therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, he qualifies to do chalitza. Because you have to have a shas hakodesh. There was a moment that you were lachem lachem shem, then you're valid. How do you know? Even if you say he was born like this, and now he's like that, but maybe one time in the middle he was able to. So now the Gemara says no. Even the techilas of a sefer lachem, since he was born like this, as we have symptoms to define this, and he's like that now, well then lo yichashinu, we're not concerned that maybe sometime in between he was healed, and then he reverted back to being sterile. But that the Gemara asks, must have Rabbi Mori. Rabbi Mori asks on this answer the Gemara, from the Mishnah Masechtas Bechayrus. The Mishnah there is talking about different psulim, invalidations in the Bechar, where the Bechar has to be tamim, has to be unblemished, but if there are certain white spots or water in the eyes of the animal, so if they're a mum kavua, which is a permanent blemish, that makes it a mum, which invalidates it to be brought as a carbon. Now it just defines over there in that Mishnah what's considered white spots that are a permanent blemish. It's if it was there for 80 days. 80 days, it means it's not just a mum oiver, it's not just a passing blemish, it's permanent. Forget it, you can't bring it as a carbon. Now, on that, the Mishnah brings Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas Leimer. He says, you're not going to just stand there for 80 days and make sure that there's 80 continuous days. Rather, you inspect it 3 times during the duration of the 80 days. In other words, in the beginning of the 80 days, in the middle of the 80 days, and the end of the 80 days. And that's enough to verify that it was for 80 days to make it a permanent blemish. Now, however, what we see from his statement is that it's not enough just to check in the beginning of the 80 days and the end of the 80 days, because maybe in the middle, it did disappear that blemish. And thus, it will be that it wasn't a kavua, wasn't a permanent blemish. And therefore, you see, not like the way the Gemara just answered, we don't say because in the beginning and the end, this person is sterile, that for sure sometime in the middle he wasn't, that we're not concerned. Over here we see that you have to check even in the middle, that we are concerned. So the Gemara says that that's not a difficulty. Because l'chad aver, for one limb, meaning we're in that Mishnah Masechtas Bechayrus, which is talking about the eyes, then chashinan, for one limb, we're concerned that maybe it was hivri, maybe it was healed sometime, and therefore you have to check in the middle also. L'kule gufa, however, for the entire body, where a person being sterile, a sris chama, is because it's a deficiency in his whole entire body, it's systemic, they were not concerned that if the beginning he's like that and the end he's like that, then maybe sometime in the middle he was healed. For that, we're not concerned. We would only have that like the Mishnah Bechayrus, where it's just for one limb. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah, where we had been discussing Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Then Rabbi Eliezer Eimer, he says, Loiki. No, he argues on Rabbi Kiva, Bechulu, and he says that it's the Sris Chama that does Chalitza and Chatzin L'Ishtoi, and not for the Sris Adam. Now, that the Gemara asks, on this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, seems to be a contradiction for Aminu from the Mishnah Masechtas Nida. The Mishnah there says, regarding a Yavam, meaning his brother had died without any children, and he's coming to do Yibam. If he's Ben Estrim Shana, if he's already 20 years old, and he didn't bring 2 pubic hairs. Now, if Bezin is requiring the Yavama to have Chalitza or Yibam from the Yavam, so then the relatives of this woman, of the Yavama, they bring Raya Shehu Ben Esrim. They bring proof that he's already 20, and Vuhu Asris, and they could also verify that he is a Sris. In other words, the way they verify that is through the symptoms of a Sris, as the Gemara explains this in Masechtas Nida, and that is because if the person doesn't have any indicators that he's a Sris, then we say that the reason why he doesn't yet have Shtei Cyrus, pubic hairs, which that generally makes a gadol, that wouldn't be a Raya. We would just say that he's still a cotton. And we actually consider him a cotton up until the majority of his years, up until age 35, 36, when that's already halfway through the 7 years of a person's life. So that being 20 without any Shtei Cyrus wouldn't be a Raya that he's a Sris. It would just say that you didn't become a gadol yet. Now, however, we're talking about a case where not only is he 20, and he didn't bring 2 Cyrus yet, but also we can indicate, as the Gemara explains on Amud Beis, the identifying features of a Sris. He has all these identifying features, which his voice is different, his skin is different. So then the Mishnah there says, L'chelitz v'lemiyam. Then she doesn't need to do chalitza, doesn't need to do yibum, as we explained in the previous daf, because the sris doesn't qualify for either opinion, if you're talking about sris adam or sris chama. But once you're a sris, you don't qualify l'hakum l'achav shem, and therefore she doesn't have to have yibum and chalitza from him. And that would be for many different reasons why she doesn't want to be considered a chalitza or to have yibum from him. Now, the same thing works the other way. Bas esrim b'lohi v'yishtei sairis. Let's say she's 20, and she didn't bring two pubic hairs. So then again, Yaviyu, then her relatives go ahead and bring Raya she bas esrim, proof that she's 20, and Vihi eilness, there she has the symptoms of an eilness, and therefore lichaletz of lemis abemis, so therefore Bissel says in that case also that she doesn't have to have chalitza or yibim, again because an eilness is excluded from Asher Teilid, she has to be able to conceive to have the parash of yibim. And therefore, again, it works in either way, that if a person reaches the plateau, the age of 20, which is the requirement, because having the simoni sris before that would not indicate that you're definitely unable to have children. It's only with two simonim, meaning that you have already reached age 20 according to Beisel, and you have the identifying features of a sris for a male or eilness for a woman, then you're considered definitely a sris or an eilness, and thus you're not in the parish of Yibum Chalitza, both for a male and a female. Now, Beishami Yomim, they argue, they say, Zeh v'zeh b'nei shmoyne esrei. Both the sris for the male and the eilness for the female, it's not 20 like Beisel said, but rather it's 18 like as Beishami is saying. Now, Reb Eliezer Omer, so he says, Hazachar k'divrei Beisel, he says that a male, to be considered a sris, will be 20 like Beisel. V'nekevi k'divrei Beishami, however, female, he agrees, will be lower age, 18, like Bishami. In other words, if she has the simoni eilness and she's already age 18, then we say she's not eligible for yibum chalitza. We consider her as an eilness. And the reason why Reb Eliezer makes that difference is v'neisha isha meheres lov lifnei ha'ish, because a woman actually matures earlier than a man, and therefore, already at an earlier age, we'll say if she doesn't have Beis Iris yet and she has all these indicators, she must be an eilness. It's not just that she hasn't matured yet, she's actually never going to mature. She's never becoming a full-fledged mature adult that's able to have children. They've already at age 18, she'll consider her as an eilness. Now, one thing we see from here is that Reb Eliezer obviously holds that a sris chamo, which is what we're discussing, someone that's born like this, which is what an eilness is, and the same thing regarding a sris, is that you don't do chalitza. He was just identifying between these two opinions, what do we hold like? Is it 20 or 18? And he's saying that it depends if it's male or female, but one thing that he's agreeing, obviously, is that a sris chama doesn't do chalitza, and that for a man, that'll be at age 20, and for a female, that'll be at age 18. But we just quoted from our Mishnah that Reb Eliezer holds, sris chama is chalitza v'chaltzen lishtoi. It's only sris adam, then not. And yet here we see clearly that he holds that you cannot. So it's a contradiction in Reb Eliezer's opinion. So Amarame Bartikuli Omer Shmuel, he says, Chaza by Eliezer retracted one of these two opinions, obviously because they're contradictory. One says that you cannot do chalitza if you're a sris chama, and the other one says you could. So the Gemara asks, Ibailu, Mahai Hadarbe, which one of these two Mishnayos did he retract from? Did he retract from our Mishnah, and he agrees to the Mishnah Masechtas Nida that a sris chama cannot do chalitza, or did he retract from Nida and agree to our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Toshima, the tiny will no brisa. Reb Eliezer Omer says sris chama is chaylitz and v'chotzen le'ishtoi. She came b'mina misrapin b'alachsan yishom etzrayim. The reason is why a sris chama could do chalitza is because they could be healed, as he said this concept in our Mishnah. But moreover, he follows that up because actually in Alexandria of Egypt, they actually heal someone that was born congenital in that way that was sterile, and that since it could be healed, therefore, that's considered a possibility of l'hakum l'achav shem, and therefore you could do chalitza and chotzen l'ishtoi. Now, therefore, that's like our Mishnah. So obviously, he retracted from the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, because since we have two sources, one our Mishnah and a Braisa, saying that a sris chama could do chalitza, obviously he retracted from that one source, which is the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, two outweigh the one. Or another interpretation of Rashi is that since in the Braisa, he actually brings a story, l'maisa, that is, you see that technically speaking, medicinally it was proven that it's possible to have refuah, so obviously he retracted from the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, and he held like our Mishnah, like Rashi explains, because from our Mishnah itself, although we said yesh lirefua, we would think that maybe that was just logically he came to that conclusion. And therefore, maybe at one point he retracted and said, no, you can't have a refuah, and therefore Sreshchama is not considered lachem lachem shame. But in the Brice where he says that actually, therapeutically, this is done, must be that he solidified that opinion in saying that this is the mitzias, this is reality, you could heal them, therefore it's considered lachem lachem shame, and therefore must be he retracted from the Mishnah in Masechtas Nida, and that he holds that Sreshchama could do chalitza and chutz l'ishta. Another resolution of this question the Gemara brings, Rabbi Elazar Imri says, actually, he didn't retract from any one of these two Mishnais. But however, when he learned over there, in that Mishnah Masechtas Nida, that he said that when regarding males, then the halacha is like Beis Hillel, that it's at age 20, that wasn't regarding what they had been discussing themselves, Beisham and Beis Hillel, regarding that a Sreshchama is loy choylitz. Rather, it was lo ancient. He was saying just regarding what you see from their opinions, yes, they're discussing regarding Sreshchama and the repercussions are that you can't do chalitza according to their opinions, but he wasn't committing himself to what they were saying in the context. He was saying just what you glean from what they're saying is that up until age 20, even if you don't have two sires, we're going to consider you a katan. Now, post age 20, yes, you could still be considered a katan if you don't have any simoni sris or any simoni alnas. But if you're already age 20 and you already are exhibiting the simoni sris, then we're going to be considering you as a gadol, not because then, so it must be that you're considered Sreshchama and hence you can't go ahead and do chalitza. No, it's just regarding punishments. You're already considered a gadol because essentially your gadol really becomes at age 12 for a girl and age 13 for a boy. Now, however, that biblically, that's only when you have two sires. Now, if you don't have two sires, you're still a katan, you're still a katana, going. And when are you a minor forever? So generally, a person that doesn't exhibit simoni sris and alnas will be a katan or a katana up until age 35. When then the majority of their time passed, then we say, then they're already a gadol. However, but if you're a sris or an alnas, you're never going to have those Beis Cyrus necessarily, because that's a sign of maturity. And the Sris or the Alnas never matures in that physical way as a man and a woman generally do. And therefore we'll say that where this is a Machlokes, where it is it age 20 the cutoff or age 18? On that Rabbi Elazar said that we'll consider you as an adult if you're exhibiting these symptoms, which tell us that you're not necessarily going to have the Beis Cyrus, which what happens to a Sris or to an Alnas is the cutoff is at age 20 for a male and age 18 for a female. Again, that's only regarding the halacha of when you become a gadol that we could say, you're a gadol already. Because although you don't have the Beis Cyrus, it's because you're a Sris and Alnas, that's 20 for a male and 18 for a female, but nothing to do with the context of what they were discussing of Sreshchama, of not being able to do chalitza or yibum, because actually Rabbi Elazar is, like he says in our Mishnah, that a Sreshchama is chalitza mechatzin l'ishta. Now regarding this topic that we're just talking about, that of a Sreshchama, where we're, as Rashi explains, that the discussion that we're going to be bringing now is actually going on a girl like Rabbi Eliezer, who he says that a female is considered a Gedayla or even a Sreshchama at age 18 like Beis Shammai. Now Rashi proves that obviously we're talking about a female, not a male, although the vernacular is used in the masculine and as a male, is because it talks about what happens from age 12 and onward. Now, obviously it's not talking about a male because a man is only from age 13 and onward, where that's the beginning of when you're able to even be considered a gadol. Must be that if we're talking about age 12 and onward, which is regarding this doubtful period, that it must be talking about a girl, about a woman. So on that, the Gemara brings as follows. Achol chaylev, if a woman eats forbidden fats, which is a punishable sin, mi ben shteim esrei v'yoyim echad, if it's from, in other words, if this incident that she ate this forbidden fats was from 12 years onward, now because lower than 12, she's most definitely a minor, and there's no punishments in Bezdin, and that's because the earliest that the two Cyrus can be considered for a girl as godless, as becoming an adult, is only from 12 and onward, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Nida. Now, so if she ate this from age 12, meaning there was one incident during this entire window of time, ad ben shmoyne esrei until 18. So if any time during the years of 12 to 18, she ate forbidden fat. And v'nolda bei siman isris, she had exhibited the signs of isris. Now Rashi says, as we mentioned before, that although it's using the terminology of zachar, and that's why it uses sris, because that's what happens by a male, is exhibiting sris, but really it's talking about simoni islandess, because it's actually talking about a female. Now, so she's, let's say, 14, and she's ate forbidden fats, and she's exhibiting simoni islandess. Now, ula achar mikan hevi shtei sairis. Now, after age 18, she goes and she brings shtei sairis. So, and we're going again according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds the cutoff time is age 18, like Bishamai regarding a female. So Rav Amar says nasis sris l'mafre. So what Rav says is that retroactively she becomes an islandess, as Rashi explains, since 18 years had passed already, which we're going according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and she had not yet brought Beis Cyrus. So the chiddush of what Rav is saying is that even if she ultimately brings Beis Cyrus, let's say when she's 20, it's not halachically significant. And we don't say, oh, she brought Beis Cyrus, must be that up until now, she was really a katana, because godless adulthood and being a minor is defined by when you bring two Cyrus. We don't say that. Rather, we say that she's an islandess. And we consider her already, and this is the chiddush of Rav, when she turned 12, which is the age when we consider based on the chazaka, but biblically it's the time when you're eligible, when you generally that's when they bring the two Cyrus. We say that the reason why she didn't bring two Cyrus then was because she's never necessarily going to bring two Cyrus, because she's an islandess. And therefore, when we finally define for a fact in halacha that she is an islandess, because she didn't have two Cyrus at age 18 and she was exhibiting all this among the islandess, we say that must have been when she was 12 already she became an adult. Oh, but if you're adult, you bring Beis Cyrus. She's not from that category of people that bring two Cyrus. That's only by a fully maturing woman, and she's never going to be fully matured. Now, so Rashi explains, as he does for the two opinions that Gemara is bringing for Rav and Shmuel, that the brisa that we're going to quote on Amud Beis, that says that even if they bring the pubic hairs at a later point in time, still they're considered like a sris l'chol devarav. According to Rav, the interpretation is that it's not only when they reach that cutoff point of age 18 or 20, it's actually retroactively. We say that must have been when she was 12, she was already a gedolah, and hence considered a sris already from that point onward, and therefore she's going to be chayiv for the liability of eating chaylev when, let's say, she was 14. Because although if she wouldn't have had the simoni islandess, she would be considered katana until she brings the Beis Cyrus, which let's say in this case she brought when she was 21. Here in this case, that doesn't make a difference that she brings at a later point in time. That's not saying, oh, now she's a gedolah, must have been up until now she was a minor. No, because once you reach the two variables, the cutoff point, which again, in Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, like Bishami for a female, is at age 18, and you exhibited the simoni islandess, must have been that we consider you an islandess, and therefore Cyrus is not halachically significant. But moreover, what we see from Rav's opinion is that therefore, retroactively, you must have been a gedolah already at age 12, and therefore you're liable for the chaylev you ate at, let's say, age 14. However, Shmuel Amar, he says a little different. He says, katan haya ba'is hasha. He says that no, she was a minor, let's say, at age 14 when she ate the chaylev. And the reason is because, although you're right, when we reach age 18, and she's 18, no Cyrus, and she has the simoni of an islandess, so then we consider her with a chazaka of an islandess, that's only from that point on. Before that, we don't say necessarily that she was, because you needed to have both variables. Retroactively, we'll say that she was still a minor. And hence, Rashi explains, according to Shmuel, the interpretation of the Brayis in Amud Beis that says that even if you bring Cyrus at a later point in time, you're sris l'chol devarav, it means from here on, from that cutoff point. But before that, we do consider the child as a minor. Now, so Rashi says that the truth is, according to Shmuel, there's no halachic relevance of saying hevi la'achar zman, that she brought Beis Cyrus at a later point in time, because already you consider gedolah already from age 18. It's only because of Rav's opinion that we're saying a chiddush, a novelty, and that is, even though she ended up bringing Beis Cyrus at a later point in time, and not only do we not say that it's only now that she became a gedolah when she reaches age 18 and that she's exhibiting this amount of islandess, but even retroactively we'll say that must have been even at age 12 she read a gedolah, where both generally identifying features are really at a later point in time. The hairs only came later. The simoni illness to make you a full fledged adonis only came at age 18. The chiddush of Rav is even so, we'll say that retroactively you already were a gedayla once you have the definitive proof at age 18. That retroactively must have been you already gedayla at age 12 already. So that's machlokes again between Rav and Shmuel, that again both are agreeing that when you become an illness in Rebbe Elazar's opinion. But the question is, does that work mikan laba from here on, or that is even tell us retroactively that she's already gedayla at age 12, not just at age 18 that we say, what about Beisaris, you don't become a gedayla. Up until 30, you could still be a katana. No, if you have both, then you're going to become, you would be an illness, which thus makes you a gedayla. Well, the question is that from age 18 like Shmuel, or age 12, according to Rav? Now, that maskabla Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks, L'Rav, according to Rav, that he said that she becomes a gedayla retroactively, from age 12 and onward, meaning once we identify her as an illness, yes, which we can only identify that at age 18, but now we know that she's an illness. Hence, Cyrus is not the identifying feature of making her a gedayla. It must be that she really was a gedayla at age 12. But according to that opinion, illness l'remeir yehelo knas, according to Remeir, an illness should have the penalty of the 50 coins that have to be paid. And that is, the question is as follows, as Rashi explains. In Masechtas Ksubas, Dav Lamed Hei Amud Beis, we learn that an illness, which is again this woman that doesn't have the full maturity of a regular woman, doesn't have the penalty that a ma'anis, that someone that forcibly violates a woman or seduces a woman, has to give to that woman. That doesn't apply to an illness. Now, the Gemara there establishes that who is that opinion? That's like Remeir, who he says that a minor doesn't have a knas. Now, an illness, since she never exhibits these two siris, then she's considered a katana, meaning during the time period of when she's fit to get the knas of an oinus or mefata, which is during the period of nairis. A nairis is generally between 12 and 12 and a half. Now, we don't say that once her 18 years pass and she doesn't bring beisiris, that then she'll be a gedayla retroactively to make the ma'anis liable for the time of the yemein iris. Question is why? According to Rav, what happens is let's say a regular woman, at age 12, generally she becomes a naira, which is she's not a minor anymore, but she's not yet a full adult of a begeris. She's a naira, which is a middle stage from age 12 to 12 and a half. Now, however, according to Remeir, he says an analyst can never have a knas. Because he holds a katana, a minor doesn't have a knas. Unlike the chacham who argue, and a begeris doesn't get a knas, so it's only possible during the time of nairis. Now he says an illness doesn't have a time of nairis because during those ages of 12 and 12 and a half, we were considering her still as a minor because she didn't develop any beisiris. Now, only later do we realize that, okay, it's because she was an illness. But the Gemara asks, according to Rav, years later, when we find out she's an illness, we should go to the ma'anis and say, you have to pay her. Because when she was 12, between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half, you were ma'anis, sir. Now, although at that time we said she was a katana, but now we know retroactively that really she was a gedayla. And therefore she became a, quote, a naira at that time. We just didn't know it because she didn't have beisiris. And therefore, you should have to pay her that penalty, according to Rav. So why does the Gemara there say that an illness never has kanas, according to a mayor? So only Abaya answers to Rav Yosef. He says, "Mikatnusa yatasal a beggar," and that is, you're right. According to Rav, retroactively she becomes a gedayla. But this, that according to Rav Meir, there's no knas, is because there's something different that happens over here. From a minor, she goes straight to a full-fledged adult, and the reason is because nairis is not just an age. Nairis depends on the simonim of Cyrus, of beisiris. Now, this woman that never has the Cyrus, we consider her, as long as she was a minor, as a minor. Now, during the age of where a normal woman is considered a naira, she retroactively is considered already a begeris. And therefore, begeris and katana, according to Rav Meir, both don't get knas. And therefore, a begeris and katana don't get knas. And there's never an age of nairis. You don't have that middle stage, because that depends on the beisiris. Now, whereas according to Rabbanan, an illness, when she's a katana, does get a knas, because Rabbanan argue over there, and they say that a katana minor actually is included in the halachas over there of einus mefata, of getting knas, and therefore up until age 12, that the Rabbanan agree that a woman would get the knas, and therefore Analnis also would get the knas because she's a ketana even later, which also allows her to get that knas. However, what Abai is answering is, although it's retroactively, but it's skipping that stage of Nairis, because that depends on Beisairis, which the islandness doesn't exhibit. Now, that Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef responded to Abai's answer. He says, wow, what a good answer. He says, Kol kihane milim al yasa yisamer mishmoy. Such beautiful statements, like you just said, should be said in my name. The time, like, well, no, Bryce, actually, just like you said. Bryce says, "Ein hasris nidin ki ben tzarimer," a different halacha, that a sris, who is someone that is exhibiting the signs of sterility, it will not have the halacha of a ben tzarimer. The reason is, now the ben tzarimer is someone that he exhibits certain negative characteristics and qualities where they kill him at a young age, so that he doesn't become a great sinner when he gets older. And the reason is, Lefisha ain't ben tzarimer nidoin, because you cannot judge the person as a ben tzarimer, as this rebellious son, until he has a full beard by the genitals, and that doesn't happen to a sris. And the second halacha of the Braisa says, an illness does not have the halacha of the nair hamarasa, shemekatnusa yatasa lebeggar. The halacha of nair hamarasa, which is a different halacha, that will not apply to an illness, because even though Rav says retroactively she becomes a gedayla, but that skips the stage of Nairis because you go straight from Ketanus to Bagris, again, as Abai had answered for the opinion of Rav. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara brings Amar Bavo. He says, Simoni, when there are the distinct characteristics that are exhibited of a Sris, which is the male version of someone that cannot have children, the Ailness, which is the female version, Uben Shmaina, and of an eight-month-old pregnancy, when the child is born after an eight-month pregnancy, where in Talmudic times, that was considered a dead child, basically, was not viable. So, however, although if you'll have simanim by all these individuals, in oisin behen maisa, you cannot act upon them, for example, let's say by the sris and the alnis, to consider them as a gedayla or as a srisim, because that's not only the simon that you have to have, but you have to have the age of either age 18 or 20. Now this, Bryce said, the hero of always going, like Basil, and he says, Achiyu ben Esr, until they're 20. If the male and the female are 20, and they don't bring the Cyrus, and they're exhibiting the simonim of a Sris and Islandess, then we're going to consider them as adults already, because of this fact that we consider them as a Sris and Islandess, who it's not totally in Cyrus anymore. Whereas from 12 to 20, we wait and we anticipate to see if they're going to bring Cyrus. Then we say that must have been that they were minors up until now. But if they don't bring, then we say that they're gedolim. Now that's regarding the halacha of sris and ailness, where we had been discussing this idea that you have to have both variables, one of reaching the cutoff point, which according to Bavo, like Basil, is age 20. But before that, we don't consider them as a sris and ailness. And you also have to have the simonim of a sris and ailness. But the simonim itself, and that's what his halacha is coming to say, is not enough to identify them in halacha as a sris and ailness. You also have to have the age. Now the same halacha is regarding an eight-month-old child that's born, where it's born after 8 months, where we do not consider him in halacha as a viable child because of certain signs that he has which shows that he is a viable child. In other words, for example, if let's say his hair and his nails are complete when he was born, even so, we don't say that he's a viable child until 20 years have passed. And that's what he's coming to say, that although in halacha we consider ben shmeina as a non-viable child, but if he has signs which show that, the reason is because usually you say that he has not filled his time in the utero, and therefore he's not complete, and therefore he's not going to survive. But if you see distinct characteristics that he has been completed, that he'll survive, but that's only when he has also reached the plateau of age 20. But before that, we don't consider him a definite ben kayama. Now, on this last halacha b'vavo, the Gemara asks, "Uben shmoyne mikachaya? What do you mean? Does an eight-month-old pregnancy, such a child survive to say that, but it won't be the definitive survivable child until after age 20? But by the time when Nabraisa that says, "Ben shmoyne harehu ke'evin," a child born from an eight-month pregnancy is considered like a rock, meaning v'asal tatli, you're not allowed to move him on Shabbos because he's actually muktza, and the reason is because he's non-viable. We don't consider him as an entity, Aval, however, but the mother could bend over. You can't move the child to pick him up to nurse him, but the mother could bend over and nurse him like that. As the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, Minehasakana, because of the danger to the fetus and to the mother. And the reason is because if there would be too much milk in the mother's breast, then it could cause her much harm and she could die. So because of that danger, she could lean over the baby and nurse him. Now, but one thing you see is that he's non-viable. So what does it mean? Only till age 20, then he'll be considered viable. He's never viable at all. As we see, you can't even touch him on Shabbos. Now the Gemara says, what we're talking about over here is kishagomer simana. We're talking about a child that the characteristics have already been completed in his ears and his nails. The Tanakh in the Brisa that Rebbevo is going according to a certain opinion. The Brisa says, Ezehu ben shmaina. What's considered a child from an 8-month pregnancy that's considered non-viable? So the Tanakhama says, Kol shalei kol lechadashim. If it didn't complete 9 months, if it was born after only 8 months, then we say automatically there's a non-viable child. Now Rebbe Yoimer, he says, Simonim mechichin alav. You know what considers a child as an 8-month child? Not if we know for sure that we calculated, we know what conception was, and therefore this one must be 8 months later, like the Tanakhama says. He says the characteristics will define him if an 8-month child. If Sairiv, it's a part of the Shlegarmer, if you look at his hair and you look at his nails and you see it's not completed, you see this is a deficient child, and that's an 8-month child that's not going to survive. Now, what we see from Rebbe is that time of the Legomer, the reason is because it was not completed. Hogomer, but if you see on the child that his nails and his hairs have completed, Aminan, so then we say, even if we know from conception it's 8 months later, Hai Bar Zayin, who we say that must be, that actually this child was completed after 7 months. Now, in Talmudic times, there was either a child born after 7 months or 9 months. 8 months was considered the danger zone, you're not going to survive. But 7 months, if you complete it after that and then you come out in birth, then that's considered a viable child. So what we must say over here, Rebbe says, and that's the inference of his statement, is that if the child's born even after 8 months, but all the signs of maturity of a full fetus are there, must have been that after 7 months was already completed. However, the child just was delayed from being delivered, and therefore the child's going to survive and live. Now, what Rebbevo is teaching, that even according to Rebbe, we do not consider this child, who we infer from Rebbe is considered a bar kayama, if the simonim are nigmar, until he has already passed the plateau of age 20. And that's what we're saying, that according to Rebbe, that if simonim are nigmar, you are ben kayama, that Rebbevo is adding the variable that you also have to pass first the age of 20. Now, but then the Gemara asks, based on this halacha, Elahada Avid Rava Taisva Uvda, this Rava Taisva did the following incident, where Be'isha Shahalach Bailam Din Siyam, there was a woman that her husband went overseas. Vishtaya Tresa Yarche Shata, and he was delayed overseas for a period of 12 months, that he didn't come back. And his wife gave birth at the end of that year's time. The Achshirei, and Rava said that the paternity of the child is valid, and the reason is because he held that the child was conceived from before the husband left, but the child was delayed in utero for 3 extra months. And what essentially he was saying was that we're not concerned that maybe this woman, after the husband had left, went and had an adulterous affair and was conceived from someone else. So that the Gemara asked, come on, who was Rabbi Tosfot passing like? Rebbe d'Omer Mishtaya? Was he passing like Rebbe, who he's only a das yachid, an individual who's lenient, and not like the Chacham, the Tanakama, who argue? Why would he be passing like a yachid, connected to Rabbah? As we just explained, that this concept of delay is a concept from Rebbe, not like the Chacham. And the Gemara says, Kivin the Ikar, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Amma Mishtai, since we find Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also agrees to this concept of delay, so Karama, but he was actually doing like the Rabbim, because it's not just a Das Yachid, it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe. They sound like learned the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimer, he says, Kol Shashol Lama Yem Ba'adam. Any child that survives for at least 30 days after birth, Ainin Nafel, is not considered a stillborn, it's not considered a non-viable child. Now, what we see from that statement is that any child, if it survives 30 days, is considered viable, even if it did not conclude the 9-month pregnancy, and that is, even if it's born after 8 months. Because we say that must be that it was already completed after 7 months, and it just delayed up until the 8 month, because that you see from Rishon Gamliel, says no matter what child it is, it's not an Nafel, which we would consider generally with an 8th month, a pregnancy if it survives for at least 30 days. And then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also agrees to that concept of Ishtohi, and that's why it wasn't a Das Yachid. It wasn't just like Rabbi, it's Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now the Gemara says, Turabon, Ezehu Srischama. We had been discussing Srischama and regarding an islandess. So what's considered someone that was born congenital, that it was delivered already, sterile, what would be considered in halacha Srischama? So the Brisa says, Kol shehu ben esrim v'lohevi shtei sairis. That's one of the variables, that you already reached age 20, and like Beis Hillel said, and you didn't develop two pubic hairs. Now, vafila hevi la'achar mekan, and even if you bring, let's say when you're 30, you then bring Beis Sairis, it doesn't make a difference. Harehu kesris l'chadvarv, once you had the simani stris, and you already reached age 20 without bringing Beis Sairis, so then you consider a stris for all elements in halacha. And as we had this machlekes in Rabbi Shmuel and Amad Alf, where Rashi said that depending on which opinion you go like, what does it mean, vafila hevi la'achar mekan, that you're like a stris l'chadvarv, if that's like Shmuel from here on, or like Rav, that would even be retroactively from age 13. Now, the Elohim Simonov, that's one variable, which is the age without having Beis Sairis. Now, the other variable of the Simonov, what are the characteristics that are exhibited by a Sris to indicate that this person is sterile, and that was actually born that way? So it's Kol She'in Lei Zaken, doesn't have a beard, V'Sarei Lokoi, his hair is soft. Again, these are all indicators that he's not like a regular man, and thus sterile. U'B'Sarei Machlik, and his skin is soft like the skin of a woman, because generally the skin of a man is hairy and he's not. He says, Kol she'in meimav myelin resiches. If his urine doesn't foam up, that's an indicator that he's sterile. And some say, Kol amatal mayim vein oisekipa. If he urinates and it doesn't spray to a distance like an arch, the way a regular man does, again, another indicator. Yes, some say, Kol sheshich v'zarei doicha. If his semen doesn't knot up together, but rather it's clear like water. Yes, some say, Kol she'in mimei raglav machmitzin, that his urine doesn't putrefy. If it just sits in the vessel, it doesn't putrefy. Acheir ma'irim, others say, Kol she'reichetz b'meis ha'gsham, if he bathes in the wintertime. V'im b'sari ma'la hevel, and his skin doesn't create some type of a smoke around him, some type of a heat. Again, another indicator. Pshimin Lozaim, he says, Kol she kali lokoi. If his voice is soft, and ve'ein nikr bein ish le'isha, you can't tell the difference between a man and a woman, meaning his voice is not in that deep masculine like a man, but rather like a woman. Ve'ezhi ailness. What's now in the female version the simonim of an ailness and the halacha of an ailness? So the first variable is, again like Basil, Kol she bas esim levi beisaris, if she reaches age 20 without ever bringing the two pubic hairs. Now, and that is, as we said, vafil levi lachem akan, even if at a later date, when she's older, she brings, it doesn't make a difference. Hari ka'alnes chaldever, we have already established her to be like an islandess for all its halachas. Now, the elohin seheisimanel, what are the characteristics of an islandess? Kol she in ledadim, if she doesn't have breasts, umiskasha b'shas tashmish, or if cohabitation is difficult for her, it's painful for her. He says, Kol she'in lo shipuli ma'ayim kenoshim. She doesn't have that, like the outward part of a spoon, this protrusion right on top of the genital area, like a regular woman, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Nida. If she doesn't have that, that's a sign that she's in illness. Pshimin Lozo Aymer, he says, Kol she koila ava. If her voice is deep, ve'in nekeres bein isha le'ish, and you can't tell the difference between if it's a woman or a man. Now, Itma, we learned a machlokes regarding these halachas that we mentioned of simoni stris. Rav Huna Amar Achiyu Kula. If you want to consider the person as a stris chama, you have to have all these characteristics that we said. No, he says that he says even if one of them, if you reached age 20 and you didn't bring Beis Sairis and you have one of these characteristics, you considered a stris chama. Now the Gemara qualifies this machlokes. Heichad dehevi shtei sairis bezakon, when he brought two hairs in his beard. So kulam le pligid achiyu kulam. So everybody agrees that then you would have to bring all the characteristics to be considered a stris chama. Now, Tosis asks, once you bring two sairis in your beard, so what are we saying until you have all the characteristics? But one of the simonim of a stris is that it doesn't have a beard. So if he has a beard, you can never have all the characteristics. So that the Rish says is not true, that two hairs in the beard is not considered yesh leizakin, that he has a beard, only if it totally fills out. And therefore, he could still have all the simanim of his ris, even if he has two hairs, because he won't have a full beard and all the other characteristics. However, the Vilna Gaon has a different girsa, which avoids this whole question. However, again, if he has two hairs, then everyone agrees you have to have all the characteristics. The machlekes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan was, when you don't have even two hairs in the beard, then do you have to have all the simanim, or only one of them is necessary? Now, that the Gemara asks, but Rabbi Bar Avuha said to the rabbis, he said, Einu beibi Rav Nachman, go inspect Rav Nachman, ibisari mala hevel. He asked him regarding one of the characteristics, if a person is a Sris Chama or not, see when he bathes if he's going to have this vapor around him. And then, Esav Libras, if he does have this vapor, then I'll give him my daughter to marry. Now, one thing we see is that once he had the vapor, that obviously he's not going to be exhibiting all this Simani Sris because he's lacking one of them. So obviously he considers that then he's not going to be a Sris. And therefore he'll be able to, he won't be sterile, he'll be able to have a child. So on that, the Gemara says, come on, so who is Rabbi Avuha going like? Rav Huna. It seems like he's going like Rav Huna, who he says that you have to have all of them, and therefore when one of them is lacking, he said, fine, I'll take him as a son-in-law. But the Gemara says, Loi, no, because Rav Nachman Sichi Dikna, some literally means pegs of the beard, Havalei, he already had that. In other words, he had many places, hairs in his beard, and therefore, as we just mentioned before, there, everybody agrees that then you would have to have all the characteristics if you have these Shtei Sires and Yizakan, and therefore, since he had Shtei Sires, he says, okay, just check if he's missing one of them, and then everyone would agree, even Rabbi Yechanan, that then he's not going to be considered a Sris Chama in Halacha. Now, the Mishnah said, Hasris, Loi Cholitz V'Lemiyabim, and V'Chein Alnes, the Sris doesn't do Chalitz, doesn't do Yibim, and so do the Alnes. Now, the Gemara makes the following Diyak, Ketani Sris Dumi De Alnes. It says Sris in the same context as Alnes. Now, actually, it was already mentioned earlier in the Mishnah regarding the halacha of a sris, but now the Mishnah is repeating it and saying to compare it to the alnus and telling you, ma alnus deshamayim, just like a woman that's an alnus. That's how she's born. She doesn't become through the act of man into an alnus. Av sris b'deshamayim. So it's telling us the halacha of a sris is also someone that was from heaven like that way. And what the Mishnah is coming to tell you is stoma kreb akiva, the amar b'de adam in, that he said that a sris adam does do chalitza b'dei shemayim, but if he's a sris chama, if he's congenital, if he's born like that, then lo, he's not chalitza b'lo chalitza le'ishtoi. Again, that's what the Mishnah is equating the sris to analysis to say that b'dei shemayim is the one that's lo chalitza b'lo meyamin, which is like Rabbi Kiva's interpretation of Rabbi Shua Safik and not like Rabbi Yezer. Now the Mishnah said has sris chalitza levimtoi, so therefore if the sris does chalitza to ziyavama, so lo pasla, so he doesn't invalidate her because he didn't make her into chalitza because the sris is not even in the parish of yimei chalitza. But chulu, the Mishnah said that if bala, if he cohabited with her, then pasla, he invalidated her because, as the Gemara says, taima de bala hu, the inference would be is because if he cohabits with her, so then he makes her into a zayna because essentially, she's having bia with her husband's brother, shaloi b'makom mitzvah, because he's not in the mitzvah of yimei chalitza, and that's a punishment of karis. Now, having bia with someone that's karis to you is a bia psula, which makes her pasul for kahuna. Now, but the inference is, ha'achar, that if, let's say, some other man would have had bia with her, and that is, as the Rishonim explained, even if there are other brothers that are not srisim, that loy, that other man having bia with this yavamo, shemeres yavam, would not make her into psula kunam. That the Gemara continues to pe alf and alf. So le mitabet yuvet Rav Menuna. Let's say that refutes Rav Menuna's opinion. Dama, because he says shemeres yavam shezinsa, a woman that's anticipating yibam, that has a relation with some other man, psula liyavamo, makes her invalid to the yavam, meaning just like an ashes ish, like a married woman whose mizan is forbidden to her husband. Here also, there's some type of a relation between the Yavam and the Yavama. If she has a relation with some other man, makes her forbidden to quote her husband, which in this case is the Yavam. Now, but one thing we see, according to Rav Nuna, is that he considered this woman as a Zayna. If she's a Zayna, and that's why she's forbidden to her quote husband, meaning the Yavam, so then she should be asur to kahuna. So why is our Mishnah saying only if he cohabits this Sris Chama with this Yavama makes her into pasla kahuna? Even if another man does, he also should make her pasla kahuna. I think Moses says, Loi, no. It doesn't refute Rav Amnon's halacha. Because hu adin afila achar nami. Truth is, even if any other man cohabits with her when she's a shemeres yavim, we'll make her psul lakuna. The idea did tana reisha b'diday, and since the reisha was talking about the sris chama, because that's what we're saying, that his chalitza will not invalidate her, so tani nami seifa b'diday, so the seifa also kept on talking about him regarding his bia, that will invalidate her. But truth is, in halacha, regarding a shemeres yavim, any man that's not valid in the context of yibum will invalidate her, even if it's another man, again, and will make her b'sul l'kuhuna. It's just that we're speaking about the sris chama. We're saying that his chalitza does not invalidate her, so then we say, but his yibum, his bia, will invalidate her. But truth is, it's even for others too. Now, the Mishnah concluded by saying, v'chein eilenes shecholtzu la'achin v'chul, same thing applies the other way around. Regarding an eilenes, that if the brothers do chalitza to her, that chalitza does not make her psula l'kuhuna, because she's not a chalutza, because an eilenes does not enter into the category of yibum and chalitza. But if they're balua, if they have bia with her, then it will invalidate her from kuhuna. So, as the Gemara says, time of the balua. The reason is because they're having bia with the eilenes, which is again is the eisha sach shloim b'malka mitzvah, because they're not in the parasha of yibum. That will make her pasul kuhuna, because they're making her into a zayna. Haloi balua loy. But if they don't have bia with her, then she won't be pasul kuhuna. That the Gemara asks, "Kaman, who's our Mishnah like? To loy Rabbi Yehuda must be not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amar eilenes zayna. He says every single eilenes in halacha is considered zayna, as the Gemara said in Av Samach Alef and Alef. He learns it out from a pasuk of his nubla yifreitzu, that any woman that is lo yifreitzu, that can't proliferate and have children, is considered his nubla, is considered as a zayna, and therefore an eilenes would always be forbidden for a kohen." And therefore, our Mishnah that says it's only because of the brothers having been with her must be not like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and hence the eilenes in that case would not be considered a zayna.